ist das DPR Half Hour. DPR Half Hour.
Good morning, and this is the 10 o'clock hour on a Wednesday when you hear the DPR Half Hour. We're on the network service of Radio Nigeria, and yes, we are in Lagos on the network service. To showcase today, the Engineering and Standards Department of the DPR, that is the Department of Petroleum Resources, the nation's regulator of the petroleum industry. And I am Shee Martins. Today, my guests in the studio are Mrs. Engineer Ibidu Towe, Assistant Director of Facilities and Engineering of the Standards Division. Engineer Stanley Ngene, Chief Engineer, as well as on the sideline, Engineer Useini Basaka. Lady, gentlemen, you're welcome to our studios.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. First and foremost, DPR, you're the regulator, and there's so much to know about DPR. Petroleum Resources, you're the one that controls all of it in Nigeria. So let's start with you, Madam Assistant Director, Ibidu Towe.
Yes, please.
Tell me about Standards and Engineering and Standards Department of the DPR. What do you do?
Okay, thank you very much for this. Engineering and Standard Division handles the statutory regulations and monitoring of all issues relating to all engineering designs, construction, fabrication, installation, and commissioning of all oil and gas facilities in Nigeria. We also develop and update petroleum industry standards for all oil and gas handling facilities. We provide data management services. We create, manage, and maintain appropriate electronic solutions to support DPR regulatory and routine work processes. To mention among many other functions, we also accredit all oil and gas service providers in the country.
Ah, that's a lot of work you do.
Yes.
A lot of work. In respect of the standards, because you regulate and you look at all these outside people that tries to get a bit of the nation's wealth, trying to perform their function in making Nigeria what it is, and even better. Engineer Ngene, a little bit more about standards. That section, standards.
Yeah, the standards section actually look at the modus operandi in the industry. It tries to ensure that whatever you are doing is good enough to preserve our resources without harming the personnel that is doing the
job.
Work. So the standards are created so that the environment is not polluted, so that the personnel are not harmed, and then the reserve we have are not depleted unnecessarily.
Everybody in the industry particularly should be very, very aware of that aspect of health and safety with respect to standards. That's if you're operating in the industry, is it not?
Yeah, it is a critical thing. When we talk about standard, it cuts across. Both operations, both safety, and then both health of the personnel.
Personnel
in so, and even in creating standards, we look at what will you do that will not harm the person you work with and all that. We just have to have specifications of your job,
including the environment. Is it not?
The environment is very vital.
Very critical.
It's very, very vital. We ensure it is not polluted. We ensure it is not damaged. It's number one, and the person.
With the rate at which things are now, where we need to do some cleanup here and there, how are we involved, madam? Let me come to you on that.
Okay, let me just because we have different technical divisions handling different, you know, work aspect of the department.
Yes.
For engineering and standard division, basically we oversee the engineering aspect of all oil and gas facilities, mm-hmm. from concept to commissioning, which entails concept selection,
yes.
funding, engineering design, detail engineering design, fabrication, construction, installation, pre-commissioning, up until startup of the
operations.
The facilities. Mm. Basically, we ensure that oil and gas handling facilities are fit for purpose in Nigeria.
Mm.
However, the primary focus of our discussion today is to enlighten the public on the concept of modular refinery.
Ah, that's the big issue we're coming to.
Yes.
Modular refinery. It sounds very big because a lot of us don't seem to understand the word modular refinery. What we know is we have three major refineries in the country that is supplying the nation. And because they are not working at utmost now. Now, let's go into that question. Modular refinery. What is modular refinery?
Okay, thank you for that question. I will say that modular refineries are skid-mounted, prefabricated process plants built in smaller units within 500 to 30,000 barrels of oil per day production capacity. And we have the benefits of having these modular refineries, which include ease of transportation and shipment, installation, operation, isolation during maintenance, and scale-up, which is actually increasing capacity over time. And with the launch of the seven big wings with the federal government, which was developed and launched by His Excellency,
yes.
Mr. President, mm-hmm. in October 2016,
mm.
the Big Wing 4 highlights the need to increase local refinery capacity using modular refinery. And the need for that is to transit from being an import-dependent nation into a net exporter of refined petroleum products.
Let me come to Engineer Nguyen. How many modular refinery projects are ongoing? I mean, since these are small, it doesn't take all the majestic capacity of a bigger refinery.
Yeah.
How many are ongoing?
Currently, we've licensed about 32.
We've licensed 32?
Yes, about 32 ongoing projects on modular refining.
Hmm.
So, that's the figure we have.
Are there any existing modular refinery in Nigeria before Mr. President came to say, look, let's not start fighting these people. We need to do something about it. Create smaller ones that we can manage. The word is manage, is it not, madam?
Yes. We have a good example of Niger Delta Petroleum Resources,
aha.
Limited Topping Unit.
Mm.
And it was licensed in 2012, we had the license to operate issued to them. It has a capacity of 1,000 barrels per stream day.
When you say per stream day?
That's the capacity of production.
What production?
Yes.
1,000 barrels per day?
Yes. And it's been a success story all along.
Indeed,
yes,
indeed. So with that sort of success story, we have 36 in line. Awaiting license or already licensed?
32. Yeah.
Awaiting license.
Licensed
already.
Yes, but at different stages.
Oh, at different stages of.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's. What are nearest commissioning dates? Because you say at different stages. We are hungry in Nigeria. And we know this is something that is of benefit, which is why Mr. President has put everything into it and they're looking up to you. That floodlight is right on you. So what are the nearest commissioning dates for some other modular refineries in Nigeria? What would you say? Go on, engineer again, come on.
At least we
You seem to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, because that's what I do every day.
I see.
We have two of the projects that has reached advanced stage. So we are looking at Q1, that's first quarter of 2019. We have those two commissioned. So, and then mm-hmm. others have also reached advanced stages, but we expect that by Q1, by first quarter of 2019, those two projects will be commissioned.
Two projects to be commissioned,
yeah.
in less than 6 months from now.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What are the merits of modular refineries?
Well, if I may say, modular refineries are small in size, those could be mounted
500
in small
to 1,000.
So
I can do one behind my kitchen.
Easy to fabricate and erect.
All right.
They have short project, you know, completion time,
mm-hmm.
less overall project cost, allowing many investors. It provides quicker investment recovery. Impact on environment is small compared to larger scale conventional refineries. It can be easily disassembled when location is not profitable. Move to another location and assemble again. It provides jobs around locations. Could be designed towards petroleum products need around its location. That means very flexible.
Okay.
Yes.
So what would be the demerits of it? Even though they're small, well, you still know that the demerits of some of this. What would you say, Engineer Ngige? Okay, let's bring out our sideline man. Engineer Basaka.
Modular refineries, by their small size, suffer from the diseconomy of scale.
That's the grammar I'm trying to break down.
Larger refineries capitalize on the volumes to maximize revenue.
Okay.
And the bottom line. But modular refineries, because of the size and their inherent capacity not to be able to process the bottoms, makes it to have much lower revenues. So that's the only...
You don't make too much money, in other words.
Compared to the big one, per unit capacity barrel installed.
That is why the Mr. President is saying, let us start small and big later, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Correct. So if that is a demerit, that you don't make too much money, it's not that much of a demerit, would you say?
Yes.
Indeed. So let's go on to... I'm still very much with you. Still very much with you. Are modular refineries associated with these massive issues of pollution that is the inherent problem experienced right now?
Well, in reality, modular refineries have lower environmental footprints. That implies lower size, lower throughput, lower emissions compared to the big ones.
The only big word in there that I understand is emission.
Yes, essentially, because you have very little throughput, you don't expect to put out more unnecessary hydrocarbon gases. But with good management, people get scared of the bottoms. The bottoms, which is the residuals, typically does not have a big market like the diesels and the kerosene of this one.
Yes.
It's mostly used as bunker fuel. So if you get the market for bunker fuels, the environmental challenge disappears.
Very, very minuscule.
Yes.
All right, you know you're going to be part of this because we are nationwide. We are in your village. And the number you can call is 0818-706-9979. 0818-706-9979. We have an alternative number as well. 0813-331-3172 0813-331-3172. Let's talk to these people about modular refinery. It's making it more interesting for small-scale businessmen like me. And it looks like I can do it. As long as I have some friends who could give us... tell us a little bit. How can people get into modular refineries? How can anyone get into it? Because this is an economic base. It's small, it's less pollutant, don't you think? You've said it's less pollutant. So how can people get into this sort of thing? I know you are thinking about it. That's why we're asking the question on your behalf. We'll get back to this. But again, please think about this. Our next question will be, are modular refineries, what are the challenges in building them in Nigeria? That's why I'm asking, how can people get into it? Challenges. Engineer Ngige. Sorry. We have you on the line already. Good morning. How are you? Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Lagos.
Sorry, could you move away from your telephone so that we can hear you properly? You're calling from Lagos. What's your name, sir? Kingsley.
Desmond,
you are welcome. You're welcome, sir. Your question.
My question is number one. How much does the certificate approval cost? The license for correct number, how much does it cost? And secondly, an ordinary man has the difficulty in the town, the primary in the Niger Delta. Can they afford it? And lastly,
that's
the idea when the local officials are destroying those men. I expected them to move in and throw all these men who have been illegal refineries and offer them one or two mega refineries to keep them safe. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Desmond. Thank you indeed. The first one is, how much does it cost? Just as I was asking for the certification and approval. You want to deal with that, Engineer Ngene?
Ngene.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The establishment of a modular refinery, it's not really about the cost. It's about the process.
Process.
Yeah, because it's a process plant. And then it could lead to certain things that if not regulated.
Indeed.
So the regulation is very, very, very key. The cost of...
Let me hold your thoughts there, sir. There's someone else on the line. Hello, good morning. Yes, sir. What's... All right, you're calling from where?
From Abuja.
From Abuja.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Your question, please.
That I'm about the output, the output,
the output.
The output.
Okay.
How qualitative is it?
Did you say how effective or how qualitative?
The quality of the output.
The quality of the output.
Yes.
Okay. Is that your question? Thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling. Want to deal with that?
Yes.
Basuka.
The Department of Petroleum Resources understands that it is the type of crude oil you're charging that determines the kind of products you get out. So when you put in high sulfur crude oil, you expect to get low quality products with high sulfur. Fortunately, the regulation mandates that you use high API, low sulfur crude oil as long as you want to do modular refineries. That guarantees you the right quality of diesel and kerosene, but not gasoline.
Okay.
Because gasoline, you have to subject it to further treatment to get gasoline.
Yeah.
So essentially, with our regulation targeted at only high API, low sulfur crude oils, we are good quality wise of products.
Indeed. I'm sure that satisfies you from Engineer Basaka. Low quality sulfur.
Talking about the cost and I said that the cost of
I'm still going to hold your thoughts before you go on because they're very much I told you investors like us are on the line. Yes, sir. Hello good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, my name is Chivinan. I'm calling from River State.
Yeah, from River State. You're welcome, Chivinan.
My contribution is the ongoing discussion is one, the question. Why is it that the federal government could not maintain continuous refining for record refining, body refining, and then give us refined crude, refined the petroleum product? Number two, why is it that the government wants to allow this thing and then keep on producing big refinery and polluting our environment?
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you indeed. From River State, Engineer Basaka. First, the other one, managing the old refineries, existing refineries, and issue of pollution.
We are Nigerians, and we understand how Nigerians do things. Business when owned by government cannot be compared to the private sector because of the incentive to make profits.
Mm-hmm.
So because the refineries are owned by government, there has to be government controls, and then it is not done with the orientation of profit but service to the people. So that is why you wouldn't get the best out of the existing government refineries.
I'm going to take a short break now before we come back, and we'll allow Engineer Ngene to
complete the question from the first caller. But in the meantime, don't stop calling. You can, I'm sure you can do our social media as well. But in, before we go back to that, let me remind you of the numbers. 0818-706-9979. 0818-706-9979. The other number, 0813-331-3172. 0813-331-3172. We take a break.
We'll be back.
You go on to yourself. Okay. Yes, Engineer Gene.
Okay, I'll quickly tell you straight the cost of getting a license to establish a refinery. The cost is 500,000 naira, which is DPR service charge, and then the statutory $50,000, which is paid to the federal government account.
Yes.
So, and then further details on other things required, you could get that from our website.
Indeed.
Because it's actually very detailed.
All right. Okay, before we...
Then there's a second question to that.
Aha.
Can an ordinary man afford it? And then...
good one.
My answer to that is, it depends on what you call an ordinary man. But I know that the cost of establishing a modular refinery runs in millions of dollars. So if an ordinary man can afford millions of dollars, then he can afford that.
That's what I'm thinking about, me and my friends. Is it not? So collaboration makes better, isn't it? We're going to make money anyway. This country will survive, no matter what. What are the challenges of building these modular refineries in Nigeria? We were talking about that earlier. Madam?
Well, the major challenges are funding.
Funding?
Crude oil availability, engineering and technology provision. However, the government through DPR and Ministry of Petroleum Resources has been meeting with stakeholders and have declared willingness to support companies a judge of building and operating refineries with funds and crude oil to ensure to meet the 2019 target.
So finally, do you think modular refineries will solve Nigeria's petroleum product problems? Engineer Basaka.
Essentially, the supply demand gap in Nigeria is enormous.
Enormous.
Modular refineries on the short term will plug some of those gaps, but hopefully in the future with the bigger ones, we will be a net exporter of refined products.
That's what we're looking forward to, because that's the ultimate goal, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, with a country as large in content, petroleum support, other little things that comes from it, because you were saying earlier on that from modular refineries, you cannot do much with residual issues.
Yes.
So those residual issues are still good products for us, are they not?
They are used as bunker fuels.
Bunker fuels?
Yeah, for ships and seagoing vessels.
I see.
So that's a very good outlet.
For modular refineries?
Yes.
People are making money from that too, is it not?
Certainly.
No.
In fact, there's this plan of making Nigeria the hub of shipping lanes in Nigeria, courtesy of access to bunker fuels for ships.
Wow. Wow. Look at that. Tell me anything more. Because you're exciting people out there. You're exciting me. I'm getting very excited. You do this every day. You're seeing a lot of income coming into the economy, is it not? Modular refinery is somewhere to think about in terms of all this onshore stuff.
Okay.
Is it not?
Let me
you're going to deal with that, madam.
Deliberate on what is involved in the establishment of this refinery.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is the receipt of expression of interest via an application package to the department. And
that's to the DPR?
To the Department of Petroleum Resources. Details include evidence of technology capability, funding capability, suitable site.
Yes.
However, we recommend that you visit the DPR site.
Okay.
The website is www.dpr.gov.ng for further details.
Okay. Before we go away, anything you want to tell somebody out there who may be showing interest? Because somebody did ask the question, the fellow that called from Port Harcourt, that we have all these illegals. Why don't the DPR come to amend them and manage them to be... I know it's funding, as it were, but couldn't the DPR, when you see this kind of illegal, why do we have to destroy them? That was a question.
We have statutory guidelines for the establishment of hydrocarbon
processing plants,
and it has to be with terms and conditions in accordance with the statutory guidelines.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
We need to follow guidelines.
Those guidelines.
Exactly.
All right. Engineer Vesaka, with
the department has not in any way stopped any of the illegals as been called to formalize their plants. But we should understand that picking up crude oil, throwing it into a pot, heating it, picking up the distillate and throwing away the rest and destroying the environment is not a refinery. These illegals are essentially picking up the lighter components and then throwing away the bottoms, and that destroys the environment. So they essentially are not refineries.
They are essentially destroying the environment. That is what
it
is.
Lastly,
sir.
One other thing I want to say is that the establishment of Mola Refinery is there for whoever is interested in investing. And then we, from the Department of Petroleum Resources, we do everything
to
possible
assist.
To support any investor who is interested in that.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to all of you, from Engineer Mrs. Ibidu Towe, Assistant Director of Facilities in Engineering and Standards Division of the DPR, Engineer Stanley Ngene, Chief Engineer, as well as Engineer Useni Basaka, also Chief Engineer from DPR. We look forward to seeing you some other time, but this issue of modular refinery, I'm sure you would have tickled a lot of fancies out there. And people will be thinking along those lines. I mean investors. Well, from the Network Service of Radio Nigeria, we thank you very much. Production crew had been Tony Obwagu, Kamalin Adego, and Nadia Ike. Who else do I have here? Yes, Ido Esebio is our sound manager. I am Sheyi Martins from Lagos. Bye-bye.